I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over your party, truth over your favorite personality. You know, I did the show yesterday, and I totally forgot that I had promised over the weekend that I was going to tell you this, a story about my trip through the mountains in California. You see, I teach about 265 lessons in over 22 states every single year, which means I travel a lot. When I am not teaching, I am usually driving to a teaching session or driving home from a teaching session or flying to a new teaching session. The majority of my time is sometimes nothing but travel. I teach for 2 hours and drive for four and fly for six, and sometimes it's a little crazy. And so this past week was an adventure. I flew into Reno. I had lessons to teach in California and lessons to teach in Reno and Carson City. And some of those lessons from Reno to California mean I have to go over the mountains. And the first set of meetings that I had in California, someone came and got me, because in the mountains you have to have special tires or you have to have chains. I didn't have either. And so a very nice, dear patriot couple, I won't mention their names on the air because I didn't get their permission, but came, drove 2 hours one way just to come pick me up and take me to my meetings in California. Well, when I got to California, the people there explained to me how driving through the mountains works when you need chains and stuff like that. And so I was driving from San Francisco back to Reno on Sunday. And I thought that I was going to leave early enough to beat the snow. I knew the snow was coming. I wasn't supposed to leave California until Monday morning, but I knew the snow was coming, so I left Sunday morning instead. Only I didn't leave soon enough. And by the time I got up into the mountains, there was snow and ice falling, and there was the big California DOT flashing billboard, you must have chains or four-wheel drive. I didn't have either. But as the residents of Susanville assured me, there would be people on the side of the road who would sell me chains and help put them on for me. And so, you know, it really wasn't that bad yet. And the signs didn't say that cars had to have chains. It said that 18-wheelers had to have chains. And so I saw, if you've never had this experience, you're driving up the mountain pass, and there's a big sign that's flashing that says, please slow, pedestrians on the side of the road. Because you have people pulled over everywhere putting chains on their vehicles, 18-wheelers putting chains on their vehicles, and, you know, regular cars putting chains on their vehicles. So there's literally people walking around on the side of the road. And so you've got everybody narrowed down into one lane. And like I said, it was just mostly just raining and a little bit of snowing, and the road was slushy, but it was not snowy, it was not icy, it was not slick. So I wasn't quite sure if I needed to pull over, if I needed these chains. And so I pulled over and stopped and asked one of the truck drivers, do I need chains? And he says, do you have them? I said, no, I don't. He says, well, see those men down there in the yellow jacket. Pull over and ask them. And so it was nearly impossible to find a place to pull over. I mean, I drove for quite a ways before I could find a place. So I finally found a slot I could slide myself in. Somebody was pulling out, so I could pull in. And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching down probably three vehicles and a semi away from where I'm parking. There's a man with the yellow jacket on that says chain installer, and he's installing chains on a big semi-truck and trailer. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, what do I do? I mean, there are cars passing me just like me with no chains, no nothing, and they're going. One of the residents from Susanville said, if you see a snowplow, just pull in behind the snowplow and follow the snowplow. You'll be just fine. And so I saw a snowplow, and I thought about pulling behind, and I just kept thinking, and I just kept thinking about what I was going to do. I just kept praying and saying, you know, I don't know what to do. I need guidance. Show me what I need to do, God. And so finally I thought, you know, I don't have enough experience to handle this on my own. I don't have enough information. So I got out of the car. It's raining and snowing and slushy, and I'm in tennis shoes. My feet are getting all wet. I'm getting annoyed. And I walk down to the man who's installing chains on the truck and trailer. And I come up to him and I said, look, I have no idea what I need to do. Can you help me? Can you tell me what I need to do? He says, well, you're going to need chains. And he says, it's going to be about $1.80. I said, $180? He said, yeah. I said, what if I don't have $180? He says, well, then you need to call your company and have them authorize a payment voucher. We have those forms. I said, my company? No. I am not a company. I am just a person with a car. He said, oh, okay. I thought you had a trailer. He said, no. He said, I've got chains for you. Just go back to your car. Wait for me. But I need you. He says, I need you to find my van. He said, pull your car up to my van. It's a white van, and you'll see it. I have a lantern sitting outside the van. And so I walk back to my car, still watching all of these cars drive by with no chains on and wondering, do I really need to do this? Because this is obviously going to cost me some money. It's not going to cost me $180, but it's going to cost me some money. Should I just go ahead and go? And I was walking back to my car, and I was looking for his van. And the answer came to me what I needed to do. You see, the only slot that I could find to pull in and figure out what I was going to do was the slot directly in front of this man's van. I had no idea, but I had parked directly in front of his van. Now, you can call that a coincidence, but I don't believe in coincidences. I was praying for guidance, and I realized that I was put in that place to be a very clear signal to me, because I need clear signals. I always pray, God, talk to me like I'm a 5-year-old, because I can't spiritually understand anything better. And so I decided that I would wait. And I waited and waited and waited. And I'm going to tell you, by the time I'm waiting there, because he's got to put these things on this truck, and I have no idea how long this is taking. I'm waiting a long time. I'm still sitting there thinking, what do I need to do? And I said, no, be patient. I believe that it's been made clear what I need to do. Just sit and be patient. And so I did. And I am so grateful for Leonardo. Leonardo is his name. I promised him. I took his picture. I posted on Facebook yesterday. You can see all of the pictures of Leonardo. And I thanked him for his help. Leonardo sold me some chains and installed them on my vehicle, explained to me how to drive with chains on my vehicle, took time to explain everything to me, let me take pictures of him, and even told me how I would go about getting the chains off later, because you drive down to the end of the snow and the end of the mountains, there's somebody on the side of the road ready to take your chains off for you. And so I just want to say thank you, Leonardo, for being such a patient help for me, such kindness he showed me. And I wish I knew there was a way that you guys could thank him too, other than just going to my website and saying, or going to my Facebook page and posting on the post of his picture saying, thank you, Leonardo. But it really, really was a blessing to me. And I want to tell you that once I got on the road, I still wondered, did I do the right thing? Because it was money I didn't really have to spend. And I'm driving down the road, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse. And I became so grateful that I actually listened and decided to stop for chains, because there the roads got really, really bad. I mean, there were moments where the chains weren't giving me traction. Now, I grew up in St. Louis. I'm no stranger to driving in the snow, so I know how to drive in the snow. And so when I lost traction, I knew exactly what to do. But you see, this was just an adventure. It was only supposed to take me 3.5 hours. It took me over 5. But I am grateful for the kindness of the people who helped me, and I'm grateful for the answered prayer, for wisdom in what to do. Because I'm going to tell you what, if I had not gotten those chains, I can't imagine where I'd be right now. Not only that, I don't even know if I'd have made it through. By the time I had the chains on and everything, the weather had gotten so bad, the DOT was directing people off the road, so I could have been very well stuck in a town with sold-out hotels, sleeping in my car, possibly. So I just want to tell you that my life is full of adventures. I am so grateful for the people that I get to meet and the experiences that I get to have.
Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So my life is an adventure. It absolutely is. Interesting things are always happening because of weather and plane delays and you know, messed up hotel reservations and miscommunications, and you know, attitude is everything. And there are times when I get irritated. For instance, when my flight is 3 hours late and I'm waiting for the shuttle or the cab to pick me up to take me to the hotel, and it's 1:30 in the morning and I'm told it'll be 10 minutes and 10 minutes turns to 20 and 10 minutes and 20 turns to 30 and I'm still standing there waiting, can I tell you that I'm not always the most patient person with the greatest attitude? But you know, I can't imagine changing any of it at this point in time, because the people I meet are just amazing. And so many people want to give up hope on America, but I can't, because I know Americans across this country and I meet them and they're so full of kindness, like Leonardo, like the two men that helped me when my car broke down, and you know, just not even knowing me from Adam, and then Alex when my car broke down, driving me around for hours at midnight trying to find a battery so I can go someplace. See, this is the spirit of America. You can say whatever you want about Leonardo charging me for chains. The man had an expertise that I did not have. He had equipment that I did not have. That's my fault, right? And I cannot blame him for being entrepreneurial and creating a service to help people. I don't believe in free stuff. I don't believe there's anything such as free stuff. Everything costs someone something. And treating people with kindness and courtesy and patience while giving a service that they need is what Americans should be looking for. They should not be looking for charity and free stuff unless they are really, really, really destitute and unable. And I believe at that point in time, God will always provide a way. So now I want to talk to you about what's going on in America. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, this real threat, this idea that liberty is worth nothing and that the most important thing is security. And I warned you that there would be people crying to bring back the National Security Agency data sweeps and losing our privacy and increasing the Patriot Act and all of these other crazy things, and Jeb Bush is leading the way. Jeb Bush says, I think we need to restore the metadata program, which was part of the Patriot Act. Really, restore? As if we ever got rid of it. What a stupid statement. We need to restore the metadata program, which was part of the Patriot Act. It never went away. Who believes it ever went away? You see, we have people suing the NSA to stop the metadata collection. We've had courts issue injunctions to stop the metadata collection. Today, going on today. We've had the federal government refusing to obey injunctions which demand the stopping of metadata collection. And Jeb Bush has got to say we got to restore it. Are you stinking kidding me? I don't know. We are no safer now than we were on October of 2001 when we got the Patriot Act. If anything, we are less safe. Yes, we are less safe today than we were on October 2001 when they passed the Patriot Act, which was supposed to be temporary, which was supposed to expire when G.W. Bush left office. And it didn't expire because they just extended it and we're no more safer. And remember, necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants, and it is the creed of slaves. And I believe that Jeb Bush just classified himself on the Joe Scarborough show on MSNBC. Classified himself as a tyrant.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
The other interesting thing that's going on is this crazy attack on Edward Snowden for the terrorist attacks in Paris. Are we so desperate to not lay blame where the blame actually exists that we have to blame Edward Snowden for the Paris attacks? you know, this is just another scream for the necessity of infringing upon our liberties. You see, because we have to blame Edward Snowden for the terrorist attacks so the tyrants can justify increasing the attack on our liberty. Well, if it hadn't been Edward Snowden who let everybody know that the federal government was defying their liberties and stealing their information and intruding upon their privacies, then Paris would have never happened? Really? Do we see how stupid that is? The CIA is ticked off because Edward Snowden interfered with their ability to spy on Americans. And that somehow would have stopped Paris. Do you know what? The federal government spying on Americans would have not stopped Paris. Because guess what? The federal government is spying on Americans, and it didn't stop Paris. The only thing that Edward Snowden did was brought to light what the federal government was doing to violate our Constitution and our liberties. That's the only thing that he did. I mean, it didn't stop the activity. We are absolutely ignorant and naive if we think that anything that Edward Snowden did stopped anything that the federal government was doing. I mean, they're defying court orders. They're still spying on people. They're still engaging in metadata collection. Regardless of what Jeb Bush wants you to believe with his propaganda, it never, ever stopped. So why don't we lay blame where the blame really exists? Why don't we lay blame on those who want to murder people? Well, we can't lay blame on them because we're too busy giving them fast tracks to live in America. We can't lay blame on these Islamic extremists because we've been letting them into our country now by in enormous numbers for the last 8 years. It's sort of encouraging and discouraging at the same time. We have 22 governors saying we will not have any more Syrian refugees in our states. I think we have more than that because this Breitbart article says 22 sitting GOP governors. I only see reports of 3 states who are actively admitting them, saying, you know, no, no, we don't care what anybody says. We're going to take these Syrian refugees. So I'm not quite sure if it's more than that, if they're not just Republicans, if they're actually Democratic governors or not. But Colorado, Vermont, and Connecticut are saying we want Syrian refugees. And so what I want to look at here real quick, because this is the real issue. Okay, these Islamic extremists who want to murder everybody who is not Muslim. That's the problem. Edward Snowden is not the problem. These people who want to murder people are the problem. And regardless of what Edward Snowden did, these people are going to murder people. And we're letting them into the country without any checks whatsoever, which is crazy. So I find it discouraging and encouraging. We have governors who are refusing to take any more Syrian refugees. And the discouraging thing is they should have been doing this all along. I read an article where in Breitbart where we have already 2 million of these people already in America. 2 million of these refugees in America. Really? 2 million refugees from these extremist countries in America. Don't you think somebody should have said something before we had 2 million? Do you think 2 million is not enough to do what they already did in Paris already here? Now we're going to step up and say we don't want them. See, I have been saying this. There have been many people who have been saying this. It's absolutely ridiculous. Do we not realize that these people have had no background checks? We have no idea who they are or where they come from or whether they're telling us the truth or not about the fact that they're even refugees. Do you think Saudi Arabia does any background checks on the people who are refugees before they come here? I mean, just think about it. Do you think they do? Because the Saudi Arabian refugee policy that America has, thanks to Janet Napolitano, is that Saudi Arabia does the background checks on the people we don't. I don't know if anybody realizes that. I'm not hearing anybody talk about that. The fact that Janet Napolitano, when she was Department of Homeland Security head, they passed a regulation that said that Saudi Arabia will be responsible for doing the background checks on their people who are seeking asylum in America. We won't do that. Really? So do you think Syria is doing any background checks on these people? Do you think that it's possible to do background checks on these people? I mean, think about that. What kind of tracking system do they have in Syria? What kind of technology do they have in Syria? Do they even know who these people are? This is lunacy. It is absolutely crazy. And the governors across America should have been crying foul a long time ago with these refugee programs. A long time ago. Number one, the federal government doesn't have the authority to make refugees. Refugee policy is written by the president. Oh yeah, well we have the Refugee Act, which is totally unconstitutional to begin with because there is no authorization within the Constitution for the creation of refugee status. No. The only authorization in the Constitution is Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4, and that is to create uniform rules of naturalization. Uniform rules to become citizens, not refugee status. Refugee status is not a pathway to citizenship. It is an exception to it. And the federal government has no authority to make exceptions to the rules the Constitution requires them to make. I challenge anybody to find that exception within the Constitution. And the federal government cannot create laws contrary to the Constitution because Article 6, Section 2 says if their laws are not in compliance with the Constitution, then they are not the supreme law of the land. And Alexander Hamilton would tell you that means they are no law at all. So we got 22 governors, at least 22 governors, that are refusing to take any more Syrian refugees. Any more than the 2 million that we already have. Yes, they're not all Syrian. But there are 2 million refugees from countries who are considered hostile. 2 million refugees from places that have known terrorist populations. And we've done absolutely no background checks on these 2 million people. Now, what do we do about that? Well, I suppose we just stop taking more. I mean, I'm not quite sure what you do now, other than start deporting people, which is the next thing you should be doing. But we're not going to deport anybody ever, because Obama says we're not deporting people. And the governors aren't brave enough to deport yet. You see, if they were really worried about these terrorists, they'd be deporting these people now. They'd be putting them out of the country, or they'd be putting them in Washington, D.C. and letting the politicians deal with them. I wonder how many Syrian refugees Nancy Pelosi has taken into her home, or Dianne Feinstein, or Harry Reid. How many of them are taking Syrian refugees into their property? But they're sure happy to put them on ours, aren't they? Well, this is exactly what the state should be doing. The state should be refusing anymore and deporting any refugee from a country that has violent extremists in it. does that sound crazy? No. You don't hear me say you need to deport all Muslims. That's not what I'm saying. And I want you to be very clear about something. You do not want to start a deportation precedent based on religion. Oh my goodness, that is exactly what Obama is waiting for. He is waiting for people to beg the federal government to start deporting people based on religion. Can we not repeat that mistake, please? When we begged the federal government to define marriage for us, how did that work out for us? Because now they're defining marriage for us. They were waiting for us to ask that question. They're waiting for us to do this. They're waiting for us to create a religious test for refugees and deportees. They're waiting for that. Because the minute we ask them to create a religious test for refugees and deportees, they are going to turn it against us. Make no mistake. Oh my goodness, please don't be crying for a religious test for deportation or for refugee status. That is not what the government can do. Because you remember, the sword that you put in the hand of government will be the sword that persecutes you when it's done protecting you. We need to learn from that history.
My right to tote the weapon of my choice. Don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So the Hawks and the federal supremacists are out in full raging force. I had a conversation. Conversation. Really, Christiane, it wasn't a conversation. I had an effort in futility today. The federal supremacist on Twitter who tried to convince everybody on Twitter that the federal government has an authority to establish refugee status and that the states just have to suck it up and take it. And there's no explaining to these people the error of their way. You can say to them all day long, okay, show me the power. And they can't show you the direct enumeration. So you reach up with your federal supremacists and they start telling you this, that, and the other. The best defense you can have is say, okay, show me the clause. Show me the power in the Constitution, because the power is not delegated to the federal government, are reserved to the states or to the people. So if it is not specifically delegated, it is not a power. And then your federal supremacist will turn to some clause somewhere and reinterpret it or extrapolate some meaning. James Madison called it forced construction, making something that isn't there. And when you point that out, they'll start calling you names. This guy started calling me a kook. A kook. Isn't that great? I'm a kook. I'm a kook because I understand that the federal government is limited in its power. And I also understand, I'm a kook because I also understand that if you do not limit the federal government's power and you make ridiculously stupid statements like the federal government can and the states just have to accept it, then you don't have states anymore. You have colonies. And we need to figure out what we want to be here. Because you can't have it both ways. You have a federal government that does whatever it wants and tells the states to comply. You don't have a constitutional republic. You have a totalitarian kingdom, and you don't have states. You have colonies. Or you accept the fact that the states created the federal government. And when they created the federal government, they created it in a limited and defined capacity by delegating a certain portion of the state's power to the federal government. They did not surrender that power. They delegated that power. Which means when the federal government is not doing the job that it's been hired to do, the states take back that power and do it themselves. If the federal government is trying to do something that was never delegated to them, then it's the state's right to protect what is reserved to them. Because if they can't protect what's reserved to them, then the power is not really reserved. So the question becomes this, America. What kind of government do you want to live in? Do you want a totalitarian kingdom where the federal government just rules and reigns over the states and the states have no recourse whatsoever but to sue the federal government and beg the federal government in their federal courts with judges appointed by the federal government, beg them for pardon and plea? Or do you want to live in a constitutional republic where the governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed, and when any form of government operates to the destruction of these ends, it's the right of the people to alter or abolish. Because you can't have it both ways. And you got to watch out for the hawks and the federal supremacists. Because they wrap the American flag around themselves and declare themselves patriots and constitutionalists, while they trample on and steal your liberty in the name of necessity. Do not be afraid to call them out for who they are. It's time to get constitutionally proficient, because it's the only way we're going to preserve the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. It is time, America, to stand up to these people regardless of the letter behind their name and start defending your liberty. These federal supremacists want to rule and reign over you. Make no mistake, they want to be rulers. It's time for us to stand up and declare ourselves free men and not subjects. God bless. See you tomorrow.